Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to sing your praise. Lord, thank you for the different aspects of your character that we're reminded of as we sing. We praise you for being a God who is working all things for our good. We praise you for being a God who is good in everything, even when our eyes can't see it. Lord, we thank you for the work of our great Savior on our behalf. Lord, we praise you for all these things. And now we pray that as we turn to your word, you would help us to have hearts that approach your word out of a sense of your awesome kindness and graciousness to us. Lord, would you help us to look to your word and see the commands of it, the challenges of it, and see them as the outworkings of the grace of our Savior. Would you help us to have hearts that lay hold of your word, because we know it comes from a place of love. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that you'd be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the passage we are looking at today is not intentionally connected to any changes in my family over the last couple of days. But it might seem like it when we turn there. This passage was one I was planning to preach this evening because my expectation was that I was going to preach on Psalm 34 this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so this passage in the New Testament was intended to go along with that. I think it actually goes really well along with John chapter 7, though, as well. So we'll see about that. And as for what we're going to do next week, when I actually do preach on Psalm 34, I have no idea. So we'll have to find something else that is somewhere along that line. We are turning this evening to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are looking at the first three verses. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We see there, kind of like we see in Psalm 34, this call not to just know things, but to taste them, to drink in the truth about God, to desire it, to have a longing for God, to have an experiential response to Christ. That's part of what we're going to look at next Sunday morning, Lord willing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not just recognize and acknowledge that the Lord is good, but lay hold of it, taste it. And that's a wonderful evangelistic passage or message. Sometimes we are tempted just to recognize things, to assent in our minds to certain truths about God. But the psalm writer, I think Peter, who's quoting that psalm, we can see, is saying, look, there's more than just knowing that there are these truths about God. We're called to be people who taste them, who delight in them, rejoice in them. We can really hold that out as an evangelistic message to people who never have. And we can say, look, it's great that you know certain things, but Have you tasted that the Lord is good? But it's not simply an evangelistic message. It's not simply a speaking to those who haven't heard before. No, we who have tasted are called to pursue God, to have a longing for Him, to desire Him, to turn away from evil, not just because we're afraid we might get punished for it, but to turn from evil because we're delighting in the God of our salvation. Well, I want us to look at this passage. I want us to look kind of in context a little bit. So if you've turned to 1 Peter, I want you to kind of look at 1 Peter chapter 1, first of all. We're just going to kind of skim down 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 3 to 5. We have Peter introducing his letter. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." He's pointing there at the beginning of his letter to the things that God has accomplished for us. You have been born again to a living hope. You've been given this inheritance. It almost sounds really like we could have stolen that from the beginning of one of Paul's letters. The beginning of Ephesians, maybe. Look at these things that God has done for you. He tells even more about what we receive in verses 6 to 12, the rest of that. We're called to be holy. That's a way to respond to the blessings that we've been given. We're to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you can hear there, things God has done for us. We've been born again. And then things that we are called to. Holiness. Being sober-minded. Being set apart. It's a common pattern through all the epistles. What God has done, and then what we should do. And in chapter 2, the beginning there, we see carrying on that theme. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. But I want us to recognize, just at the beginning here, is that that part at the end, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, that's the part that comes first in our experience, right? If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you delight in Him because He changed your heart to delight in Him. If that's true of you, then here are these things that you should do. You should respond to a delight in God with obedience. And we should respond with longing. Those are our two main points. If we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, how should we respond? With obedience and with longing. Now, I want us to look at the obedience side of that first. Respond with obedience. Recognize that Paul is talking here about a response. I've already emphasized this, but the thing at the end there, verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, that's the thing that comes first. If we've tasted that the Lord is good, then do these things or turn from these things. It's not at all, do these good things, and then maybe you'll get to taste that the Lord is good. No, it's you have tasted. If you're a believer, you have experienced the goodness of the Lord. You do rejoice in Him. You know that God is good and delightful and wonderful. And if you've experienced that, then put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Now, we could take time to go through each of those things and define each of the things that Peter is saying we should put away. We're not going to take the time to look at every one of them individually. Really, we could kind of roll them all together. And I think if we took them all together, we'd say all of them are ways of getting something, ways of getting something at the expense of others. I want something from people, and I need to manipulate them to get it. Now, that wanting might be for a lot of different things. Maybe it's wanting money. Maybe it's wanting recognition, wanting credit for something, wanting to feel powerful. But when we look at those things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, I think we can look at them and say they're not just things that, you know, the really bad people out there do. All of us are tempted by those things. We're tempted to be hypocrites when there are things we want that don't really line up with how we know we're called to live. We're tempted to envy. There are things we want that are someone else's. We're tempted to slander, and that can make us feel better in some way, get us some kind of advantage. All of us are tempted by those kinds of things. I'd encourage you to kind of hold on to that list. I know it's not a happy list, you know, but hold on to that list and think about how those things might characterize your life in some ways. But we're called, if we are Christians, to turn aside from those things. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then don't turn away from that goodness and run after the kinds of pleasures you need to manipulate others in order to get. If you're a Christian here, I think one of the questions we could ask is, where are you looking for pleasure and validation apart from Christ? Now, we're not saying that you can't, you know, enjoy the blessings God gives. Enjoy a good meal, a hobby that we really have fun pursuing, playing a game, something like that. We can enjoy all of those things as gifts of God. But are we finding our greatest delight in God? Or are we tempted to kind of set Him aside and pursue all kinds of other desires, grasping after them, demanding them, willing to sin to get them? Friends, if that kind of thing is a temptation to you, well, turn from it. Say, no, I have tasted the goodness of the Lord. Respond to that experience of His goodness with obedience, turning away from those sorts of behaviors. But I think wonderfully, Peter doesn't just say, turn away. He does say that. There are certain things that are off limits if you've seen that the Lord is good. But he also says, long for more of that delight in God. That's what we see in verse 2. Verse 1, put away these things. Verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. He's saying, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, then long for a greater experience of that. Newborn infants, long for milk. Reminded of that again the last couple of days. They long for it. There's nothing else they can think of. They cry out for it. They're desperate for it. They have no idea how to control their appetites at all. They are utterly mastered by their appetites. And it's striking that the apostle here is using them as an example. You would almost think that's a terrible example. Utterly mastered by their appetites. And yet he's saying, no, be like that. As long as the appetite you're pursuing is delight in God. Don't be content until you get a greater experience of his goodness. Now, why does Peter have to tell us to do that? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, it seems a little strange, doesn't it? If we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, he really is that delightful to our hearts. Why does Peter have to tell us, long for this? I mean, we don't have to, you know, teach an infant to long for milk. We don't have to say, you know, not longing well enough. Pick it up. You know, you got to long for this better. So why would we have to tell Christians to long for spiritual milk? Shouldn't we just see that following after God is delightful? And so pursue it because it's delightful. Shouldn't we just know that these things are good? We've tasted the goodness of the Lord, and so just pursue him. Shouldn't it just be our drive, our self-interest to do that? I think it's good for us to say that while Peter is holding up an infant as an example, we are not exactly like infants in this way. We do have a taste of the goodness of the Lord. If you're a Christian at all, you have recognized that. And yet at the same time, we are distracted by so many other things. There are so many things that can seem in the moment more enticing, more delightful than spiritual milk, than God. And we recognize that even in our lives, there are things like that. There are certain things that are just always enticing. Sometimes even things that we know aren't particularly good for us. Certain kinds of candy. We don't have to be taught to long for those. We just have a longing. And yet there are other things in our lives that we really do enjoy, but we do have to cultivate a longing for them. I know that I will feel better after I exercise. I know it. I've proved it through experience numerous times. And yet I still have to encourage a longing for exercise. Some people just have it seems naturally, I guess. I don't know. Seems like it. I have to look at that and say, no, that's actually good for you. You'll feel better after you do this. So pursue it. Go after that and you will benefit. You will enjoy it. Sometimes that's how our longing after God is. There is a delight there. There's a delight in him that is more fundamental than the enjoyment we're going to have in anything else in this life. But it is a delight we need to cultivate. We need to encourage. And that's part of why Peter can say, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, then long for this. Now, here's a final question. How can I increase my longing for the goodness of the Lord? Well, here are a couple of answers. One, go deeper in your study and appreciation for God. I could have a taste of the goodness of the Lord just by contemplating this phrase. God has saved me from my sins. Friends, there's a certain amount of delight that actually comes just from that phrase. And I think you could be a Christian and really only know that phrase, honestly. God has saved me from my sin. You could just repeat that over and over to yourself. And there would be a delight in it. But you know how we could get a deeper delight? Would be to actually kind of take apart each part of that phrase, God has saved me from my sins, and think more deeply about what each part of that means. Who do I mean by God? Well, I could dwell on the grandeur of his majesty. I could dwell on him as the eternal one who created the heavens and the earth. I could think of his awesome justice and power, his beautiful grace and love. I could be moved even more deeply at the wonder that he cares for me. And as I dwell on that, just one part of that phrase, my delight in God goes deeper. I could dwell on the phrase that talks about my sin, right? What does that actually look like? I could just say, save me from my sin, some delight there, if I actually think about what my sin is like. If I think about how ugly it is, if I think about the kind of damage it creates, if I think about the ultimate prospects of sin, my heart is moved even more. If I take the middle of that phrase, God saved me from my sin, and I focus on that saved me, and I say, well, how did he do that? Oh, through his perfect son who died in my place. Suddenly my delight goes even deeper. Sometimes we're content with very surface level things. And I think some people can even say, look, I don't really want to dig down into the theology. That makes it kind of dead or something like that. I think we'd say, look, if you want to grow in your longing for God, your delight in him, go deeper. See more of what he has accomplished. I recognize, even in my appreciation for, say, an artist, a painter, perhaps, I get a deeper appreciation as I get a deeper familiarity with the work. As I think more about, wait, how did that artist actually do that? How did he accomplish that? You might think that if you really get into, you know, the technique the painter used, you would have less of an appreciation for the beauty. But in my experience, that's not how it works. Get a deeper appreciation as I have a deeper understanding. So if I want to increase my longing for the goodness of the Lord, first suggestion, go deeper. Second suggestion, pursue God consistently. I find that my love for God is often cold when I fail to pursue God. That's pretty similar to many of our friendships, right? We have very good friendships, close friendships. But when there's no contact for a while, well, the friendship kind of loses its edge, loses its immediacy. Some people have said absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think sometimes that works that way. Sometimes it doesn't. Absence just makes the friendship colder. We want to grow in our longing for God. We spend time consistently with Him. Not have it go from, you know, Sunday to Sunday. Those are the times when we talk about or think about God. Pursue a relationship with Him day by day. I've also found in many ways that we tend to want what we pursue. Now you might think that that phrase sounds kind of backward. You'd think we pursue what we want. That can be the case as well. But I think that truth is that often we do want what we pursue. If we pursue something, if we put our energy into knowing God, our desire to know Him grows as we pursue Him. May we be those who pursue God, who grow in our longing for Him. If you're a Christian, you are someone who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But that's not just the end of the story. Oh, I tasted that once. No, if we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then we are to strive for obedience. We're to strive for spiritual blessings, long for Him. May God, even this week, give us hearts that do that, that grow in our longing for the Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the kindness that You have shown us in Christ. We thank You, Lord, that Your word isn't here telling us, turn from these things, obey better, and then you might reach some place of delight. Lord, we delight in You because You've changed our hearts. We thank You for that. And we would come to You and ask that You would help us to long for You more. Lord, would You give us hearts, not just minds that know You, but hearts that delight in You. And would You help us to turn away from sin, not just as an act of, you know, iron self-constraint, but would You help us to turn away from sin because we see a greater delight, that is, following after You. Lord, would You help us not to be content with all of the different delightful things around us in this world. Help us to have a longing for You. We thank You for these things. We pray that You'd be with us this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.